As we get closer to the start of the school year, students all over the state are gearing up for their first football, soccer, volleyball games of the season, and parents are getting ready to cheer them on. That's not always a positive experience for everyone, as parents can go beyond cheering to coaching, maybe even verbal abuse of players or coaches or referees. The Baraboo School District has come up with a new parent and fan code of conduct that they hope will encourage a more positive and supportive atmosphere at sporting events. School officials brought together students, parents, and coaches from the community to help develop that plan, and a physical copy of the code of conduct will appear in their fall sports program. A lot of the ideas there could probably apply to any youth sporting event. We're joined now by Jim Langkamp. He's the athletic director for the Baraboo School District. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome. It's a privilege to be on with you, Rob.
So why did the district want to come up with this parent-fan code of conduct?
There's probably, you know, I'd say there's two overall reasons for it. First of all, I don't believe our community is really any different than most that I've been around. I've been with, you know, around high school athletic director for 21 years in a couple different districts, and I do some softball officiating and umpiring in the spring as well. So, you know, as I've gone around to different school districts, again, I don't think our challenges are any different than anybody else in the state. So, again, pretty typical year last year, but over the course of the year, you know, again, most athletic directors you talk to will tell you a story or two about an ugly incident that has happened at their school over the course of the year. And whenever you get a couple of incidents like that that happen, I think we look in the mirror and say, okay, how can we get better at this, and how can we make this a better experience for everybody?
You don't have to get into the specifics, but what are some examples of the kinds of negative behaviors that you've seen and heard about as an athletic director?
The ones that really catch your attention are the ones where it's kind of, you know, in your face kind of behavior. So it's more than just, you know, booing from the stands or, you know, verbally, you know, kind of expressing your disagreement with a call or something like that. But it's a case of maybe a official coming off the court or coming off the field at the end of a game and having a parent, you know, get in their face and make a comment to them, or whether it's officials or coaches, same thing. You know, I think most coaches could probably tell you some horror stories about the way that some coaches get treated. If they again lose a game or have a losing season, and the coaching world it's a tough world right now. And, you know, and that kind of leads into where, you know, our second goal with this was, you know, I've hired in the last 2 years, we've hired 8 or 9 head varsity coaches. And, you know, as we, again, like anybody else, we want to figure out, okay, how can we build successful programs? To me, it starts with coaching stability. And, you know, a number of the coaches that we've hired are inexperienced, you know, as a head varsity coach, and so maybe this is their first experience with this type of position. And, you know, I want those coaches to feel safe and feel that they're supported, and again kind of limit and try to do our best to limit the type of, again, sometimes abuse that they're subjected to.
It sounds like another benefit, Jim, might be for the student athletes themselves and the role models they're seeing in action, the behavior they're learning and how they feel about sports and public behavior.
Absolutely. You know, and that was one of the great things of the, you know, we formed this code over 2 different meetings. And as you mentioned in your intro, it was formed with coaches, parents, and students. And, you know, again, over the years, I've been a part of committees where students were part of the committee, but it almost felt like that was just a symbolic gesture. In this committee, it was really the opposite. In fact, when it came time for groups to speak, you know, one of our first rules was that the students speak first because we wanted to hear from them first. And, yeah, a couple of the items in the code really kind of came directly from them, where, you know, they talked about, for example, one of the items in our code, said basically that as a parent, you'll give your child some time and space after a contest except for praise and encouragement. And what that means is you know, the students had said, you know, there's sometimes after a game or, you know, whether it's a tough game or, again, a tough loss, we don't necessarily want, you know, mom and dad to relive the whole game. You know, we don't want to replay the whole game and you know, dissect and question, again, coach's moves or this player did this or that. You know, sometimes kids at the end of the game, they just want to kind of decompress and just forget about the game for a little bit. And when they're ready, you know, yeah, they'll talk to mom and dad. But so you know, it's things like that that you're exactly right. You know, there's some things in here that really, again, came from students and what we heard from students to make their experience better. And again, that was a very valuable piece to this whole process.
We're talking to Jim Langkamp. He's athletic director for the Baraboo School District about the district's new code of conduct for parents and fans at district athletic events. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Do you see good or bad behavior from parents at youth sporting events that you've been to, whether it's at a school or in club sports? 800-642-1234. Jim, let's get some more into what's in that code. As I look at it, I think, okay, oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't get up in the referee's face or anything.
Right.
One thing I am guilty of is the first thing on the list, coaching from the sidelines. So why was it important to get that out there? Hey, parents, you're not the coach. Pipe down.
Yep. Well, and you're exactly right. There is so much of that, and like I said, I've sometimes get a unique seat to that. Again, as an umpire, you know, set up behind home plate, obviously there, and you can hear again a parent even coaching their daughter at bat and saying, you know, step a little bit toward the plate or move back, you know, and it's, you know, again, as a student, you know, it's confusing to them. You know, it puts them really in a tough position. You know, if let's say as a parent you disagree with what the way your coach has taught it, it puts the student really in a tough position because they basically either have to ignore their coach, who obviously makes the decisions on things like playing time and you know, playing positions and things like that. Or they have to disappoint and ignore their parent. And again, none of us want to be put in a position like that because, again, we all want to impress our parents and we want to satisfy them. And so, you know, when you have two different voices telling you two different things, the student's really in a bad spot, and it's really a no-win situation for them. So again, that was certainly something that's you know, benefiting for the student.
And based on the dirty looks I got from my kids when I did this, I'm guessing this is one that the students you talked to were very supportive of changing.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, there was, you know, no debate or discussion or dissension really on that. That was, you know, that was a pretty easy one for us to agree that is the best thing. And again, you know, it's certainly, you know, at night after the game when they go home and talk about things, you know, again, people are going to have different opinions, and maybe the parent, again, gives them a little tip here or there. But again, certainly at the games and at the practices, that's really not the right time to address those things.
Yeah, and my secret has been I've learned to mumble it to myself on the sidelines so no one else can hear it. Now, I want to get to another one of them, a 24-hour rule where if, hey, you're a parent, you've got a concern, as long as it's not about kid safety, if you've got a concern about coaches' decisions, athletic policies, don't bring it to the coach within 24 hours of the game. Why is that important?
So that's something actually, you know, I know the code itself is unique. The 24-hour rule, though, is something that's pretty common already around the schools that I'm familiar with. So really the purpose of that is, let's take basketball, for example. If, you know, you're upset about, boy, why wasn't my son didn't get to play the whole second half, you know, and you know, maybe the parents up there just stewing for the whole second half and and all that. And, again, maybe you lose a tough game. You know, when a parent comes down out of the stands at that point, they're going to be emotionally pretty charged. You know, the coach is going to be emotionally charged just from the adrenaline of the game. And, again, win or lose, you know, their emotions are running high. So, to try to have a logical, rational kind of conversation in that scene is probably not likely to happen. And so so typically things aren't going to go well in one side or the other, or both are going to say something that they may regret the next day. So, again, to try to protect both parties, We ask them just, you know, please go home and sleep on it. We say this also applies to email as well. You know, we ask them not to go home and fire off a 2-page email, you know, and hit send on it. Because again, you know, many of us have made that mistake at some point in our life and came to regret it, you know, not too much later. So we ask them just to sleep on it. Let's let the emotions die down a little bit. And when you call, you know, call coach or call the athletic director the next day, let's arrange for a chance for us to all sit down and get around the same table. And again, we want to talk to parents. We want to work things out. We don't want things stewing and, you know, festering over the course of days and weeks. But again, yeah, let's just have a little cooling off period and come back the next day. And you know, again, I'm probably still some emotion, but it's just not that raw emotion that you see at, you know, at the end of a contest.
We're talking to the Baraboo School District's athletic director, Jim Langkamp, about a new sportsmanship policy the district has put in place this year aimed at better behavior on the sidelines and in the stands, mainly from the parents. We want to hear from you. Have parents or fans become too invested in kids' sporting events? Do you wish the district in your area had a code of conduct like this one? If you play youth sports, do you ever wish mom or dad would just pipe down? Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking right now about the Baraboo School District's new code of conduct policy for parents and fans. And you can join the conversation maybe with a story in your neck of the woods. Do you think fans should follow a code of conduct policy at youth sporting events at a school or a club? Have you ever yelled something from the sidelines and regretted it? Have parents or fans gotten too into the game, and do you wish your district had a code like this? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post a comment on the Central Time Facebook page, where we have a link to an article that lists all the steps in that code of conduct. Jim Langkamp stays with us. He's the Baraboo School District's athletic director. We'll go to our callers now with Dennis on the line in Ripon. Dennis, hi.
Unfortunately, this code of conduct should probably be started at a younger age, because as a coach in different Y programs through the years, you can see which parents are probably going to continue their abusiveness to their coaches and refs, you know, and right on up into high school. It's sad to see some of these kids getting talked to by the parents. It should start at a younger age, I think.
Dennis, thanks a lot for the call. So not wait until high school, but I think this will apply to any sporting event in your district at whatever level, right, Jim?
It's at this point, it's a high school code is where we're starting with it. But it's a great point, I think, that Dennis made, because when we developed this code, we took five samples from around the country. Three were from school districts. One was just a youth sports code, and one was a youth lacrosse club. So we kind of had a different take of those. But I absolutely agree. I think that the problems that we see by the high school age are things that probably have gone on for years, you know, before this, and maybe that's why some people are a little startled or shocked by this now.
Thanks a lot for that call. You say a lot of these have gone on for years. One point in this code of conduct is newer, though, a code of conduct with social media during and after the game.
You're right. And so, you know, had I sat down and just, you know, tried to come up with a code myself, I don't know that I would have thought about that. But again, as we pulled in these samples, one of the five had mention of that. And again, I think we all kind of thought, oh, you know, boy, that is an important piece nowadays. Yeah, it just seems like in the last even 3 or 4 years that has taken off. You know, and with the social media piece, it's not like we're going to, you know, on Friday nights just scan over Facebook and all the Twitter hashtags and things like that. What typically happens, and this is the same, you know, with our students during the school day, what typically happens is if somebody is across the line and just over the top on some social media behavior and communication, somebody else becomes offended by it. And whether it's, again, a specific person or maybe it's a fellow parent or student that says, look, so-and-so is, look at the stuff that they're just spewing on Twitter and Facebook, and I don't want to read this anymore. It's offensive, and can you please do something about it? So again, it's I'm glad we have that in there. I think it is very appropriate for this day and age, and it's something that we, again, that if it's brought to our attention, we now have the means to address it with somebody.
Back to our callers now with Kevin in Sparta. Kevin, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, you know, from being a past coach in wrestling in the state, in Wisconsin Rapids, to be honest with you, it seems that most times the programs that excel or achieve higher at a higher degree usually have a strong group of parents that have started those kids at a very young age and very involved parents. Now, some of that may be good, some of that may be bad, but it seems like these parents that have been involved all these years, most, I would say, are pretty knowledgeable in the sport. And I don't think that cutting them out or pinning them down or I don't know how you would, what you would say, this code of conduct, I would hate to have that.
Gotcha. I think I see where you're going, Kevin. So Jim, can we encourage that sort of supportive parenting that helps build strong programs while at the same time not having that cross the line into negative behavior?
Absolutely, and Kevin brings up a great point. And I think as a school district, what our charge is to make sure that include those people in a positive manner. And for example, in our district, what I recommend to our coaches is, for example, there's so much summer training now and summer workouts and things, and I think that's a great opportunity to involve parents. And absolutely, if you've got some expertise in your town, we'd be silly not to tap into those folks and get them on board in a positive, productive way. And this certainly isn't meant to push those folks aside, but again, I think if you have that expertise in most communities, you struggle to find those experts. So I think when you're fortunate enough to have them, I think you do have to include them in your programs.
Thanks to Kevin in Sparta. Now we go to Kevin in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hi. My question comment is, I think this is a great idea and it's long overdue. However, say Baraboo institutes this code of conduct, yet the next school district over doesn't, and now say visiting fans are totally out of control. What's the procedure, punishment, enforcement, consequence?
Oh, interesting question. So Jim Langkamp from the Baraboo School District, what are the consequences for the home fans as well as the away fans?
That is a very difficult. It's a difficult thing, and it does happen. And I've had that happen where basically our responsibility, we try to keep, especially our student section, doing appropriate cheers and things like that. And then, the minute the other school students start something, of course, our students look at me or our supervisors say, hey, what are you going to do about that? And again, we try to address it the best we can. Typically our message is, look, we have high standards and not every school has those, and let's be classy. Our goal is always to be the classiest again, student body or student section or fan section in our conference. We kind of use it as an example of, if that's how they want to represent their community, go right ahead, but we're going to rise above that.
It seems like policy aside, Jim, what you're trying to accomplish here is to encourage a mindset among parents of athletes and fans in the community. What do you want people thinking as they come in to enjoy, the local football, the high school football game, or whichever sport they're out to boost?
Right. We want, and you should be able to take your family and even things like, coaches' spouses or coaches' family should be able to sit in the stands and not be uncomfortable and have to hear some things that are just out of line. It should be a family-friendly place, and quite honestly, this code really isn't, for our community, it's I don't believe it's anything new, or it's, you know, that we're changing the way we do business. All we really did was put down in writing some things that we've, I believe, that we've stood for and try to stand for every day. So, you know, we've just kind of decided to recommit our efforts to say, look, let's be classy. We want, when people leave, whether it's officials that work here or other coaches, we want them to leave and say, wow, that was a classy group of players and coaches and fans. It was just, you know, it's just a great night of high school sports. You know, that's our goal that we want people to leave with.
Good place to leave it, Jim. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's Jim Langkamp. He's athletic director for the Baraboo School District, discussing the new code of conduct for fans and parents at sporting events there. You can keep sharing your thoughts at the Central Time Facebook page.